This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
All right, this is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11 o'clock to take your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. And my goodness, do we have some concerns for you guys to talk about today. But feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. If you have a cell phone, shouldn't cost you anything. And you can call from anywhere on the planet that a cell phone works. And I suspect you'll get to our show. And we will do our best to help you out with whatever tech question you might have. But as usual and customary, we do talk about technology issues of the day and or of the hour, as it seems all the time. And you got one, Dennis, you want to start with?
I do. We have a vulnerability in Microsoft's SharePoint technology.
Mm-hmm.
And SharePoint is both online as part of the 365 services.
Yes.
And it's also available in an on-premises version where you can host your own SharePoint server.
Right.
The problem is in that, the on-premise, you know,
always seems
my
curious.
Own service, my own server version of SharePoint.
Right.
Yeah.
You
know, that's another thing.
Same thing happened to Exchange, but we'll get there in a minute.
At any rate, there's a vulnerability in it that allows outside actors to get access to data from SharePoint that they normally would not have. And it's
that's quite a way to say it.
Yeah. Now, here's the
bad
deal.
Bad actors.
Bad actors.
Yeah.
It's a technical term.
Well, yes. Well, you said just actors. I'm adding the bad.
Well,
bad actors getting access to your data was not a good thing. So what are they trying to do?
Well,
here,
here's the thing.
Yeah.
There's actually been breaches of SharePoint servers. Now, I'm going to say up front that it's not very commonly used anymore. Most companies, especially small companies that are using SharePoint, are using the online / 365 version of it. They don't have their own SharePoint servers in-house.
It was so expensive, I'll tell
you.
Nobody would
write the check. It was very expensive. And it's very, very, very difficult to administer.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like Microsoft.
Yeah. And so most people have been pushed in that direction. But there are some larger enterprises, including government agencies.
Of course.
That do have their own in-house SharePoint servers, and they have been exploited. One of them is the U.S. Nuclear Weapons Agency.
Wait, not just the nuclear energy, the weapons.
Nuclear
folks.
Weapons.
I wonder who would be interested in that.
Well, it turns out that it's the Chinese.
No, you don't say.
Now, I'm going to remind you of something that happened a few years ago. Mm-hmm. We call it the Hafnium exploit that affected Exchange servers.
Yes.
Again,
every Exchange
on-premise
server.
Exchange server. Yes, right. And it was built into the software, so every single one in the world had this exploit.
Every version, no matter what. So
going back to 07, I think.
Yes.
Anyway.
Microsoft doesn't retread stuff, does it? No.
They retread everything.
Yeah.
Now, the other point of commonality here mm-hmm. is that the exploit is predicated on something called web shells.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that word, I mean, I immediately remembered Hafnium.
Right.
And to be honest with you, it makes sense because both Exchange and SharePoint
mm-hmm.
take advantage of Internet Information Server, which is Microsoft's
IIS
web server.
Yeah.
And it all integrates with that.
Right.
So the bottom line for me is they had an exploit in Exchange that they knew about in 21.
It was a painful patching process, and the FBI even got involved.
The FBI actually rolled out patches to affected servers.
Whether you wanted them or not.
They just went and did it for you.
Yeah.
Now, it's 4 years later,
mm-hmm.
and now we find that the same kind of technology caused an exploit in SharePoint.
Yeah.
4 years later.
Right.
Microsoft has done nothing within those last 4 years to take a look at SharePoint, mm-hmm. which uses the web shell technology that they knew was vulnerable in Exchange.
Right.
They never checked it.
Nope.
They
Obviously.
Never looked at that. Obviously. They never said, gee, where else do we use web shells and what are we going to do about that?
Right.
Never touched it.
Never touched it.
Until somebody was exploited and it got exposed.
Yeah. You know, the horse is out of the barn there, Dennis. This is typical Microsoft. And again, there's lots of folks, and you know, Wyden's been talking about this for a long time, and how we need more pressure on vendors like Microsoft to put out products that are better.
Well, yeah.
That actually protect us. Here's another Microsoft story, and you're not going to believe it. I couldn't believe it myself. Well, I kind of, maybe I did believe it. It's one of those things that, as an IT person, you just sit back and just say, why am I in this business? Let's get into mulch. So ProPublica did a thing. They investigated something that you couldn't believe. Here's the headline. Microsoft says it has stopped using China-based engineers, yes, I said China-based engineers, to support Defense Department computer systems. You cannot make this up. Defense Department software systems, and their DoD cloud services. Yes, that's exactly what I said. For some, I can't imagine the reason they're in a boardroom and said, hey, you know what we're going to do? On top of the $20 billion we're going to charge for security services to keep people protected from our Microsoft software that's constantly being hacked all the time, we're going to also make sure that we get these escorts that have security clearance to then subcontract with Chinese-based engineers because we can't find anybody in America because nobody's getting a degree in computer science in America, it would seem. But we're going to have these Chinese-based engineers working on the Defense Department stuff. How's that sound? And someone in the boardroom of Microsoft says, yeah, it's a great idea. Let's do it. They're cheap over there in China. I mean, you can't make it up. And if you're a manufacturer here in Connecticut, you already know what you're going through to become CMMC2 certified, getting your NIST 800-171, putting all your ducks in a row to protect CUI data.
Right.
CUI data is unclassified data that we want to make sure the Chinese can't get access to. And then Microsoft actually uses Chinese engineers to work on Defense Department stuff. I can't believe I'm saying it. I mean, what bonehead in both the Defense Department and in Microsoft thought that was a good idea? In a bazillion years, who said, yeah, that's a great idea?
That's I'm blown away. And we've got to be honest here. We have clients using the government community servers.
Yeah.
And they pay through the nose for that.
Yeah.
And how do we know that Microsoft isn't letting, you know, Chinese engineers in that stuff?
Right. It might be in America, but they have Chinese engineers maybe working on it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So what they're doing here is basically they have these folks that have the security clearance, and they then escort the engineer because these persons with security clearance, you know, probably don't even know how to turn a computer on. And the Chinese folks are saying if they want to work on a firewall, let's say, and they need to update it, install a bug fix or configure, look at logs or troubleshoot a problem, they'll actually have the Chinese engineer tell them what to do. But again, the Chinese engineer could also be saying, you know, instead of close all ports, open all ports, right? Now, by default. Right. And the person doing the work wouldn't know if it was malicious or not. What are we doing? I mean, I can't believe I'm telling you this. It's real. ProPublica's got the story. If you don't want to believe ProPublica, that's a whole other issue. But we'll put the link up here. But the headline is Microsoft will stop doing this. Well, gee, thanks, Microsoft. I would ask the DoD, what are you guys smoking over there? We are working really hard as IT people. I mean, there are so many manufacturers in here that just do a little tiny piece. You know, you could be doing a screw for an F-35 and you have to spend boatloads of cash
right.
to make sure that that screw is made is not found out by the Chinese, yet you let them actually work on the software for our defense. I mean, I can't make it up. I really can't make this up. But it sounds just like what's going on in most organizations these days. It's just dinglings everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm not the sharpest tack in the drawer, but I would be in the boardroom saying, yeah, that's probably not a good idea. Well, they're cheap, Eric. Well, how cheap? Well, like really cheap. Well, like you feed them a what do you give them, a nickel a day? That kind of cheap?
Well,
I guess I'll go ahead and offer our country up to for a nickel a day. What are you doing?
Well, is it cheaper than bringing in somebody from India on an H-2B visa and having them do it from the United States and under your watchful eye?
Or just bringing an American engineer. We are spending gobs of money, supposedly, in our universities, educating these computer folks to be engineers. Why would we? I just can't believe it. Obviously, we've spent so much money creating these engineers that the engineers want to command a proper salary.
Right.
And the Chinese are like, well, we'll do it for a nickel. And Microsoft's like, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll put the link up here. You can read the story. And I'd love to have Renee DeLeon. She did the story talk about it. But we'll put a link up here for you. I wish I was making this up. I'm not.
Oh, I am almost ready to cry. Come on.
I know. You just ask yourself as an IT person and you're busting your hump trying to protect and secure things. And that's what's happening. In the year 2025, and now they promise not to do it. Oh. Another quick story before we have to go to break. Microsoft admits it cannot guarantee data sovereignty. Under oath in a French Senate, an exec said it would be compelled, however unlikely, to pass a local customer info to U.S. admin, right? So if we want to ask Microsoft, this happens in all sorts of legal cases, right? You could have your account at Microsoft, and you have whatever your OneDrive is, whatever data is out there, whatever email's out there. Somebody in the government can ask for that data. Microsoft doesn't have to tell you even was asked.
Whoa!
And then they can give you the data. Well, under oath, French Senate, the same exact thing. We cannot guarantee data sovereignty. So if you're France, do you want the American government poking in your data? That's not cool.
No, come on.
Not that you're doing anything wrong.
No.
We're going to step out for a quick break, get to more of your calls. Three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. Dennis and I are not remote controlled by a Chinese engineer. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, the easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It always had a long intro. There it is. Yeah, we lost another one. One of the few people on the planet that I think won a Grammy playing a flugelhorn.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
That's pretty impressive. So, yeah, we lost Chuck Mangione. So, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842, and we'll do our best to help you out with computer problems, comments, and concerns. Excuse me. Let's go to your call. Let's go to Tom and Granby first. Hey, Tom, what's up?
Good morning. I put together a new computer. I called you last week about the downloading Windows 11.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, it runs fine, except it does not recognize my older CD-ROM.
Your older CD-ROM?
That I have.
Older CD-ROM.
Yeah.
You may have a driver. You may have to find a driver for that and then add it to the system.
How old is it, internal or external?
Internal, and it has an IDE connection, and I bought one of those adapters off of that famous retailer, IDE to SATA.
nice.
And it's just not recognizing it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would say you're not going to find a Windows 11 driver for it from the drive manufacturer because there's no IDE interface for Windows, at least 11. Windows 11.
Yeah.
But you might look for a driver from the adapter maker or some kind of additional software. I don't know what it could be. But
or it may be easier to just buy a new drive, I think.
I think so. if you can find an internal one, that'd be cool. But they'd make plenty of external
ones. Yeah,
they do have
them.
Oh, they do still?
Yeah.
I haven't seen them lately. We haven't built
not
a machine.
Too many, but,
we haven't built a machine with a CD-ROM, or as we used to call it, cup holders, for probably 8 years.
I imagine.
So, but no, I think you're going to have no choice but to update on that one. But good. So you got it booting and working. You threw it all together in a week, huh?
Oh, yeah, runs fine. It took me a while to download it because I measured my internet speed. It was actually, believe it or not, 1 megabit per second.
Wow.
What?
One.
One?
Yeah, so I think it's time for a new ISP, maybe.
Or change your modem. I got a feeling you're running an old modem. They probably sent you a
couple
notices.
Well, they're going to send me another modem.
Yeah.
I'll see what happens with that. But if not, I'll have to change to my new ISP.
Yeah. There's some more choices out there now, finally.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for your help then.
All right, Tom. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. So he's built his machine and is running. That's nice to hear. So four lines wide open. 860-522-9842 is the number. And again, a little more on that story. So that for the Microsoft folks, they can't guarantee the data sovereignty. So this is another big issue. This is why the EU and Microsoft itself is saying, okay, fine, all right, we'll do on-prem 365. And we brought that up a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Microsoft 365 on-prem. You were shocked to hear that.
Well, yeah, I was, because I didn't even know that was a thing.
It's a thing. So again, when you put your stuff in the cloud, you lose access, you lose control over it. And when it's in your servers and you're in your four walls, it's your data, right?
Right.
When you're renting space on somebody else's servers, it's their servers and their systems. And again, governments and what have you, not that you're doing anything wrong, can ask the people who are renting those servers to you for access to your stuff. And they get tons and tons and tons and tons of requests. And again, from stories that we've talked about before, maybe this has changed, but as far as I understand, law enforcement does not have to say or report, and Microsoft themselves don't have to say anything about any data that's been accessed on your accounts.
Right. They don't.
And then you find out later, whatever you're doing wrong, not that I'm saying you are, I don't know, has been now taken, right? And along with whatever data was out on that server. So we had the Kim.com thing, right?
Oh, right, right.
So
right.
You know, he was hosting servers for people to back up their data to, legitimately.
Right. Correct.
And also he was hosting servers that had all sorts of copywritten material on it, like think of Napster or what have you.
Pirated videos and stuff like that.
Right. So the government took all his servers.
Just took them.
Took them all. And people who
walked
had
in,
legitimate
grabbed them.
Yeah. If you had a legitimate data on there, the government didn't care. They're stopping this piracy from occurring.
Right.
So when you stick it in the cloud, you don't know where you're sticking it, is my point. And clearly the French are like, I'm not sure. I don't think I like this. And and I think we need to pay attention to it, especially when I just told you that Microsoft is letting Chinese folks work on DoD cloud. I mean,
what?
Yeah. I mean, it gets back to where do we want to put our stuff? How do we want it to run? And all these folks want to rent you something. They want to rent you the cloud, rent you the software, whether you're an accounting client, whether you're manufacturing. They all say, hey, put it in the cloud. We're going to charge you $2,000 a month. And your accounting client goes, what? And we'll let you use our software. And if you don't like it, go pound sand. But there needs to be some better laws here as far as your ability as a consumer to put it locally too. I mean,
true.
Maybe like a consumer bill of rights that kind of says, okay, fine. They can offer you a cloud-based solution, but they should also offer a on-prem local solution, because you shouldn't be stuck with the fact that you have to put your stuff in their cloud. And again, we talk about this story too. You had the same story, maybe. Mm-hmm. The whole thing with Clorox there in Cognizant.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you got all these issues here. I'll bring it up later when we talk about it. But it's like, if it's not within your four walls and you're not controlling it, do you really have any control over what you're doing? And if you don't pay your $2,000 a month bill for your small 15-person accounting firm just to do taxes,
mm-hmm.
versus buying the software.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to be able to do if you don't make that payment on time?
They'll just turn it off.
And then there are no more payments because you're out of business.
Right. I don't know. It's just crazy. So this story we'll put up there for you too, as far as the Microsoft admitting it can't guarantee data sovereignty. GCC High, all these things. I don't know when they're going to have a story, but if they can't guarantee data sovereignty for the French, I'm not sure we're going to be guaranteeing data sovereignty with GCC High or GCC that you're paying a premium for. I would shudder to think there's Chinese people working on those systems too.
Oh, no.
Right. I mean, it could happen, man, clearly.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it is, but who knows? You want to bring up anything, Dennis, before the bottom of the hour?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to bring up something else. We've been hammering Microsoft pretty hard this morning, but Google has a little bit of some explaining to do, as Ricky Ricardo used to say. There was a spyware app that had been developed by a guy, I think, in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And spyware apps are put on phones in order to, like, follow your spouse or your girlfriend or whoever. I mean, they're very shifty little things.
Location tracking.
And location tracking, what you're doing, who you're texting, all that.
Oh,
now,
to that extent. Okay.
And pretty much captures everything that goes through the phone.
Yep.
At any rate, this guy, the developer of his app, which is called Cat Watchful, one
Watchful.
Word. had used Google's Firebase service to host the data that he was collecting with his app on all of the phones that it was collecting data from. Only he didn't secure the data, and it was just left, you know,
wide open,
unencrypted. And just go ahead and go get it if you can figure out where it is.
Right.
And somebody did find that data. Now, it took Google an entire month to get this data out of there and get this guy out.
Wow.
And kill his subscription to their Firebase service.
Wow. A month.
And a whole month after they were notified by TechCrunch.
Yeah.
You know, you better do something. And, oh, yeah, well, we're going to take our time.
Wow.
Come on.
And Google's pretty, you know, security, they say they are focused, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Again.
I mean, it violated their terms of service, but why did it take them a month to figure that out?
I don't know. They probably had to talk to an attorney. we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, and we'll have all these stories for you. They're posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll also put it over there on Facebook. If you go follow us at the Tab Computer System, I'm sorry, the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, we'll go ahead and let you in. You can get the links there. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Little Chuck. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And four lines wide open. I know it's a lovely day out there today. So if you have nothing going on and we've solved all your computer problems on the planet, we're happy guys. it does come and go every now and again. All the problems are solved.
Right. It happens.
We just put a pin in it. We're like, we're good. So feel free to call us if you do have problems. But speaking of problems.
Oh, yeah. Clorox had a problem.
Yeah. Alluded to a little $380 million lawsuit against the IT people that support Clorox. Right, Dennis?
Yeah, that's right. And this is a lawsuit that's not based on, well, all right, let me back up. The cyber attack that is the subject of this lawsuit.
Yes. It's the same attack I use all the time, by the way.
Did not happen as the result of an exploit or a security flaw or anything like that in any code.
No, they simply did this. What's your password?
Yes. Literally, they said, what's the password?
Yep. And Cognizant says, here it is. And they're like, thanks.
And Cognizant was acting or running a service desk or basically an MSP operation for Clorox.
Right. And they've been a client of Cognizant since 2013. And they also talked about, I guess they had talked to Clorox about how it's improved its ways to make sure that they are not going to do or give away passwords the way they just were. And it turns out they may have lied about that. So the story just talks about this. And again, this is the filing claims Cognizant was not duped by any elaborate ploy or sophisticated hacking techniques. The cyber criminals just called the Cognizant service desk, asked for credentials to access Clorox's network, and the Cognizant handed the credentials right over. Cognizant is on tape handing over the keys to Clorox corporate network to the cyber criminal. No authentication questions asked. So here's a cyber criminal. Here's what it is. It is literally the verbiage. I don't have a password, so I can't connect. Cognizant agent. Oh, okay. So let me provide the password to you. Okay. Criminal. All right. Yep. Yeah. What's the password? Cognizant agent. Just a minute. And so it starts with the word welcome. So that's the actual recording of the bad guys getting
seriously.
In.
That's all it was.
They just asked for the password. And again, this is why I do it all the time on this program. I've done it on this program for my entire 30 years of doing this show. What's your password? Because literally, that is what's happening, right? That's how bad these systems are designed. That's how bad we are as humans to just assume everything's safe. We are like, okay, here you go.
Well, you know, humanity is inherently trusting.
Yes.
Seriously, we are.
I feel creepy when I need help getting into something serious, even in my own life, when I'm talking to a bank or I'm talking to my financial, whatever's managing my finances, even talking to that person, even though I called that person, I don't even trust that person.
Well, right. A few weeks ago, I had to call my internet provider.
Yeah.
And have something done. Yep. The person didn't really ask too many questions. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Shouldn't you think about stuff? And it turned out that they recognized my phone number.
Mm.
But I'm not sure that that's enough for security for me. Right. Phone numbers can be spoofed.
Yeah. That's not a good security approach. Oh, yeah. I know this is Dennis because I see it on caller ID. It's his number. But Dennis could spoof. Yeah. We can spoof anybody's number.
But my ISP even gave me what they call a security code. It's only 4 digits, but it is a check. And I was never asked for it in this call.
And you were never given a two-factor, which they should do too. Hey, Dennis, let me send you a two-factor.
Two-factor
to make sure.
On an ISP account? Are you kidding? Well, I don't know of any ISPs that do that.
I know. Well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
A lot of people connect their ISP email to their financial lives or any life. Let's go to your calls. Ray is out there in Springfield with a question. What's going on, Ray?
Hi, guys. Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want your thoughts on this. I've had a few occasions where USB devices, for example, external hard drives, will disconnect. Reconnect, disconnect, reconnect repeatedly, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It turns out that what I'm told is that when you power down the computer, this is a desktop, some of the power can be, still within the system and goof things up. So with the power disconnected to the computer, push the power button, hold it for several seconds to drain any residual power. Yeah. And that did clear up the issue. But do you have any thoughts about preventing that or what's going on there?
It's happening constantly even after you – so you got to do that procedure to clear that problem up and it reoccurs, you're saying?
It doesn't reoccur every time,
yeah.
but on occasion it does happen.
Yeah. How old is the machine?
You're using 4 or 5 years, but it's a kind of a high-end PC
yeah.
that I had custom built.
Okay.
I mean, otherwise it's fine.
Right. My guess maybe is the USB card or onboard USB is failing in some way.
Yeah, there's a problem with the USB controller in the computer.
Yeah.
You can't, if it's a desktop, it's possible to add an adapter, a PCI adapter that creates, you know, new USB ports. And it depends on the form factor of the desktop, but you can install that and use that instead. There is another suggestion that I can make that may help, but my hunch is that it wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a very simple and quick thing to do, which is to go into Device Manager on the computer, way down at the bottom where it says Universal Serial Bus Controller. Controllers, there should be more than one, actually. Go in there, right-click them, uninstall them, and reboot the computer and see if that helps you. That'll like force it to reread the code and the drivers that are involved with handling the controller. And that may help.
Yeah.
I said it. Yeah. It's not going to hurt it. And it's kind of quick. So you may as well give it a shot. But I can't really guarantee that that would help. I really think you're going to end up adding another PCI adapter with USB ports.
Yeah.
And just use those.
If I did do that, a new adapter there, where would the physical ports be?
They would be in the card facing out in the back of the computer. The card itself, you open up a slot and you drop it in, connect it up, and then that card on the back of it and on the back of the computer will have USB ports.
Right. You're going to choose the type of ports.
And you're going to plug everything into those. And you might have to go get yourself a hub or something like that.
Yeah.
Because you may have connections on the front that you're using, and, you know, you got to actually work around it, literally. But I think you're going to be your solution.
Okay.
All right, and if you do you said you're using a USB hub in this scenario?
I do have a hub, and I'm using all the USB ports for various things, but
yeah, you could have the hub could be a problem.
The hub could be a problem.
Yeah.
So maybe try plugging things into the hub or not in the hub and directly into the computer and see if there's any difference in performance. But if it happens on both, then it's going to be the central, the unifying USB controller inside the computer that's having a problem. And then, like I said, the solution is going to end up being a PCI adapter to put in a new one, essentially.
All right, okay. Ray. All right, Ray.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. It is one of those things that USB can flake out. I had to change out even the laptop here in the studio because of the amount of devices I've got running in the USB port, and it couldn't handle it. I've never seen the error before, but it ran out of resources.
Right.
I got resource errors on the USB built into the laptop we were using that I had to change the laptop out. I've never seen a resource error on a USB bus before.
I've seen that. Usually when I've seen that, it is an oncoming hardware failure.
Gotcha. Well,
so
I upgraded. We're going to step out for a quick break. Bonnie and Alan, hang on. We'll get to your calls. Two lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. A little more Chuck Mangione for you. That flugelhorn, man.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing.
Definitely.
A hard horn to play. All right. So we're back here. We're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll help you out. We got two lines open, but let's get to your calls right away. Bonnie was on the line the longest. What's happening, Bonnie?
Hi. Good morning. It would seem that since a recent update, when I open my Google when I open my emails at work, and we use Google to provide that, suddenly I get a summary of my emails. I don't need a summary of it. I just want to read my emails. And I don't understand. It's not something that I'm aware that I activated. Is it something I can deactivate?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking into this right now because I hadn't heard of it.
No, I haven't either. And I think having Google read your email for you is, again, something you didn't ask for. Because
no, and it summarizes it. And I don't need something to – it's like when you go into ChatGPT and you give it some information and it summarizes everything up and turns out something cool.
It turns out that this is a feature of Google Workplace email, which is what you've got.
Yeah.
And there is a way to turn that feature off, okay? We can post an article about what they call the smart features for Google Workspace. And this is a Google support article, so it goes over a lot of stuff, but it will tell you where those settings live and where you can go to turn them off.
Now, there is a TLDR, right, aspect to emails these days, too long, did not read. And, you know, I'm sure we all in our workspaces have coworkers who, instead of just simply getting to the point, could write emails that are pages and pages long, and you're like, I have no idea what the heck you're talking about. So, and if you hear, that's something you hear a lot, actually, in corporate America, right? Too long, did not read. So this summary, aside from the fact that you don't know what Google's doing to ingest the information that you may not want now as part of their AI learning, again, you could have corporate secrets in there that AI, that Google is now reading. And promising, I'm sure, pinky swearing, they're not telling anybody about it. But to summarize the email for you, for somebody who has the habit of being too long, did not read style emails, could be a benefit. It could be a time saver, right? Wouldn't it be nice if you could have the actual email client actually tell you what the email was about rather than reading the whole thing? So before you turn it off, think about that, unless you don't have that problem in your organization.
No, we're a small company, and if we have to talk to somebody about something that lengthy, we go over to the office and talk to them.
There you go. The old-fashioned.
We don't email it.
Yeah, the old communicate, the old-fashioned way. I like that. So we'll show you how to turn it off.
A lot.
Yeah, well, and that way.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's just really annoying, and again, I don't like somebody reading my email. I mean, I suppose they do anyway, but this way at least I don't have to see them and know it every single minute that they're actually reading my email. So thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So Google is no longer going to read Bonnie's email. We'll make sure that's posted for her.
Yeah.
But it is a thing. I can see the benefit.
Yes. I can too.
As long as it doesn't, you got to be careful too of it. It could make mistakes on actually summarizing
that's
it, right?
That's another issue.
If it can't play something as simple as chess with an Atari 2600, is it really going to get your email summary right? I did a Google search on just the little band we're part of. We have a community band, an adult band, but we all wear clothes. And I was just putting a note in there as far as just trying to find our band, and it summarized the band, and it came up with all sorts of people I didn't even know existed. I mean, it completely hallucinated everything. I meant to take a snapshot of it, and it didn't bother. But I'm like, wow, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. So some of these summaries could be just complete hallucinations. You hope that they're getting it right. Let's go on to Alan in Glastonbury next. What's going on, Alan?
Hi, I have two questions.
Sure.
One is, I use Microsoft Office 2021 on my computer, you know, a purchased copy, and I have trouble launching Outlook sometimes. I'll hit the Outlook icon, and nothing happens. And what I then have to do, I go into Task Manager and find the Outlook application and shut it down, and then I can launch it fine. And this, you know, I'm in and out of Outlook several times a day, and it might happen like once a day, and it's just kind of an annoyance that I have to do that.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of a two-part question. One, can I fix it? And if not, can I create like a little bat file that I could just click on that and shut it down rather than having to navigate to task manager, because it's not that hard, but it, you know, it takes like 20-30 seconds to do that.
You want to script a solution to your problem. that's cool.
You know, if that, I mean, I don't want the solution to be I have to reinstall Outlook, because then, you know, you got to reset a bunch of stuff.
Well,
but if there's a better solution, that would be great. Mm-hmm.
All right. What I'm going to suggest, number one, is take a look at any Outlook add-ins that you have running. One of those might be caught. See, what you've got going on is you've got this Outlook task that's hanging.
Right.
And it could be that there's a plugin or an add-in that's causing Outlook to hang,
it's
because maybe the last time you had it open, It never really closed because it was waiting for that add-in to respond to something and never got the response.
Yeah.
So it's just there. And then it consumes any opportunity later to run the Outlook application.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing you can do is, yes, you can create a batch file with one command that will completely blow away Outlook and then allow you to start it. And I can tell you what command you would type in. If you're ready, here we go. It's task kill, one word, space, / IM as in Mary, space, outlook.exe, space, / T as in Tom, / F as in Frank. That will completely blow away any and every Outlook task that is running on the computer, as long as you run it as an admin.
Right, which you probably are on your machine as
right.
an admin.
Right, I assume you're an admin on your own computer.
Yeah, I usually log in an ID where I'm not the add-in.
Well, you would have to right-click on the batch file, say run as administrator, and then add the credentials for the administrative account. But either way, you would have to run it as an administrator.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I'll check to see if I have any plugins, and if not, I'll create that little
If you have a third-party plugin, maybe there could be some in there, and I'm pretty sure you're probably not using whatever it is. It's just something that gets added in with somebody's software. They see you've got Outlook on the computer, so they shove it in there, assuming you're going to use all their great stuff.
Yep.
And nobody ever follows up and does that. So you'd probably be able to disable an add-in if you need to.
Okay.
All right.
The second question is, I use two external hard drives for backup. I back up like once a week.
Okay.
And then they alternate. So
nice.
Each one is used like twice a month.
Beautiful.
And I'm just doing incremental backup.
Nope. Where'd you go? I didn't do anything. He said he's doing. You there, Alan?
You there?
There you are. You're back. You did incremental backup
on my phone.
Okay.
I have two external hard drives.
Yeah, back and
I
forth.
Alternate. Each one's connected like 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
But they're old. I'm not sure how old, but I'm sure they're more than 10 years old.
Oh, gosh, replace
Should
those.
Should I just replace them?
Yes, sir.
As a precaution versus, if one fails,
replace them both? Replace them both. 10 years old. They're not going to be there when you need them. I can tell you that right now. They might be there when you need them. But, you know, Murphy is listening, and it's not Chris Murphy, it's Murphy. And so I would say to get two new drives and put those other ones aside, and make sure when you're doing an incremental backup, at least you're doing a full backup in a regular basis. Because if it's just one full backup and then the rest are solid incremental chain, it's a big mess when you try to restore.
Yeah,
that.
You might not be able to recreate everything.
Right. So always have a full backup at one of your processes, maybe every other week if you have to.
Oh, okay. Because then that probably takes like hours versus minutes.
I lost him again. But you're right, Alan. That would take longer. But if you try to do this a never-ending chain of incrementals, you're going to find out the hard way that way as well. So we lost you there, buddy. I hope you can hear us. But yes, replace those drives. So I'm going to let Alan go because he's no longer there. So we got three lines coming through here, and we're coming up near the top of the hour.
We're going to be here until 11 o'clock.
Ken, Paul, and Mark, hang on. One line open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number, and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.